Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to this edition of The Cave Show. This is PLR. It is so good to be back with you. Here this Friday. It's been since Wednesday since we went back to the live shows, and it has been great. We've had one great guest after the other. We have another one scheduled for today. Greg Paquette. MLB veteran of the A's, Royals, Mets, Tigers, and Cardinals. He's going to come on. He's going to talk about baseball, some good stories, what baseball meant to him. And he's also in a new business. He's going to talk about that, drinking coffee to help you lose some weight. I tell you what, we're definitely going to dive into that as well. It looks like the country's trying to get reopened. We're going to talk about how that impacts sports. And we just got so much stuff to get into today. Definitely looking forward to it. Going to work a little bit backwards today because Craig will be joining us in about 2 minutes. And I see I have 5 calls on hold. So thank you very much. If you could call me back in about 20 minutes, we should be wrapped up with the interviews. And I'll definitely try to get as many of everyone on as I can. Like I said, in about 20 minutes, we'll open the phone lines up to our guests, to all the callers. Like I said, we have a guest giving us a call in about 3 minutes. We are brought to you, of course, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. That's 4991 South Alma School. Get down there and let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Keep in mind, you cannot go in to pick your cigar right now, unfortunately, due to the pandemic. But when you go there, you tell them what you want. They will grab it for you, bring it out to you. If you want, you can call ahead, place your order, and just pick it up. You also can go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com, and have it shipped out to you. You don't even have to leave your home. But you can still get your sticks. That's the key thing. Sit back, relax, it'll make you feel better. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Again, one of the best selections in the Valley of the Sun. Thanks for joining The Cave Show today with PLR. This is PLR. And we are on the verge of getting the country back open. We know that. Had the good friend, incredible writer Greg Moore on yesterday, and he gave some good points of how things can get back going. I'm a firm believer you can get back to tennis. I believe you can get back to golf. Hell, the governor of Arizona deemed golf an essential sport. I don't get it, but hey, if it's essential for you and I to go play, it could be essential for professional golfers to get out there and give us a little bit of entertainment. But baseball, I've often said baseball could be out there. I've had some reservations. I've had some questions on how they would do it. What I want to know from a baseball player, though, is how long does it take? How long does he think it would take to gear back up, to get back ready to play real baseball? What effect will it have on the pitchers if they overpitched real baseball games? And just the person will be up with us shortly, Craig Paquette, to talk about some baseball. And I want to ask him some story. Look, he played for the Mets and the Cardinals and the A's. He's played in a big market with New York, a smaller market in KC and in Oakland, Detroit and St. Louis, markets that people absolutely love baseball in. I'm curious to see the dichotomy between each city that he played in. So we'll get into that when he gives a call in. Also, don't forget this weekend, part 1 and 2. Mike, if you can't watch new basketball, watch Michael Jordan. That's my answer to everything. The Last Stand on the Four Letter this weekend, parts one and two. It's a 10-part series. I am geek. I am loving all all these people that just don't want to give Jordan his greatest title, and we get all the, this is what I've seen, and this is what I've seen, and this is that, and this is it. Just watch. I didn't see Wolf play. So, full disclosure, I saw Kareem play, but I didn't see real game Kareem play, obviously, in the 70s, 71, 72, 73. I saw it, but I didn't know what I was watching. When I saw Kareem really play was in 85, 86, 87, and by then, the team was really Magic's team, the Lakers, at that point. So, in fairness, I didn't see them. But from the time I can remember watching Michael Jordan to now, with every other NBA player, I've never seen someone control a game before they even stepped on the court the way that I saw Michael Jordan do it. Again, you're going to say, well, you're a Chicagoan. I'm good with that. Call me what you will. I call it the truth. But we're going to jump in. We're going to talk about baseball. We're going to definitely get into that. And I have the perfect person that's going to do it with us. And he's going to do it in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, we are honored to have a Major League Baseball veteran, played a long time at the Major League level, played with the A's, the Royals, the Mets, Cardinals, and the Tigers. Craig Paquette is on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Welcome to the Cave Show, sir. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This is a privilege because I love to – you know what? Baseball, I fit the demographic. I know they say that a lot of old people like baseball. I'm not old, but I'm older. And I grew up loving it. I grew up loving baseball, and I always say, you know what, if they tweak this or tweak that, and then I spring training rolls around, I get out to the park, start covering the games, and I just sit back and go, leave baseball alone. I just want to see more stolen bases, and I'm good. So it's one of the greatest games ever invented. So you've got a true baseball fan you're talking to today.
Good to hear, and I agree. I think baseball is, of all the sports, it's the one sport that they don't need to change the rules. Keep them as they are. I mean, all these Bob Manfred coming in, changing some rules here and there. It's just, the game should stay the same. It's the greatest game for a reason. There's no time limit. And once you start doing that, I think it just screws with everything.
You know, the one thing though, and I know that you played an era. Why did analytics take away the stolen bases though? When I was growing up, I love seeing rookies run. I love seeing Tim Raines and McGee and Herr and all those guys steal bases. And all of a sudden, the game has become single and wait. And I don't get it anymore.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And unfortunately for me, I played in the wrong era because I was the over-aggressive hitter. I mean, I got involved with the Billy Ball era. I think the Oakland A's let me go because I didn't change my approach at the plate and try to get walks. And you're exactly right. Nowadays, it's basically, if you get a single, that kind of stinks because we really want you to hit a home run.
Yeah. To me, that just made the game exciting. I tell this story all the time. I once was watching a game, I don't know, it was about 10, 11 in that ballpark, and Ricky Henderson walked. Pitcher looked I mean, he was done. As soon as Ricky got on base, you could see it on his face. He stole second, stole third, a ground out scored him. And I'm like, why would you not want to do that? It's the game, you have one out, you have a run in, and you've already frazzled the pitcher. And I just don't get it anymore. But again, maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm just not an analytics guy, but I love that stuff like that got me really into baseball more and more watching those guys run.
Yeah, it really did. And I got to play with Ricky. I got to play with quite a few guys, Willie McGee. And when you played back then, I mean, you could name 10 to 20 guys that were leadoff hitters that stole bases. I pay attention to baseball a lot right now. I really don't think I can name a base dealer. I mean, I remember Billy Hamilton was supposed to be this phenom from the Reds, and I think he's been let go or traded two or three times, and I don't even know if he's still in the big leagues. But I don't think I can name one of the top three stolen base guys right now in baseball.
So I've got to ask you, did Ricky refer to himself in the clubhouse as Ricky? Because I've heard him refer to Ricky Henderson as Ricky a lot. Did he really do that?
Yeah, he did it quite a bit. And I got to play with him when, you know, it was towards the end of his career. But he was, I mean, by far and away top three players back then when I played. I came up in 93. He was there in Oakland. And our team was kind of on a downward little tilt. We weren't, you know, our team was mostly consisted of guys in their late 30s, early 40s, and then three or four of us young guys with a couple guys mixed in between. So I can't say we were predicted to win. We're middle of the pack, low portion towards the towards halfway through the season. So the 3 years I was there, every year around trade time, it was, you know, Ricky talking about Ricky. Ricky going to do this. Ricky going to do that. Ricky's not playing today because Ricky's been talked about being traded. You know, and it was hilarious, but it was, you know, when you play with him, you understand when he plays the game, he gave it everything he had. I mean, a lot of people didn't understand that. They thought he was a showboat, but when that man took the field, he gave 110% every time.
I honestly think, like I said, I've watched baseball a long time, and I can't go back to like Lou Brock, obviously, but he was the best leadoff hitter I think I've ever seen play. He just put so much pressure on everybody. But when I would hear him say Ricky in interviews, I didn't know if he just did that for television purposes or if he really referred to himself as Ricky when he was like in a clubhouse.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did. He definitely did. No question about it. I heard him many times.
I tell you the one thing that I did hear him say, and I think it was the funniest thing ever, when he was talking about steroids, he said, they said 50% of baseball use steroids. Well, I didn't, so that means that 51% of us didn't. And I was like, did anyone do math with Ricky at any point in time? Because that wouldn't have swayed it to 51%. But, I mean, no. He was that funny, though, huh? I mean, was he really that funny?
Yeah, he was. And I always tell one story. Coming into spring training, the first time I was there, you know, Ricky's got this physique and he's just totally ripped, doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. And he gets in the weight room and he puts 45, you know, we're doing the bench press and he's got 145 on each side. And he struggled to get it up. And, you know, and I'm looking at him knowing this guy's, you know, best guy, one of the best players in the game. He doesn't have an ounce of fat. He's got muscles everywhere. And he's struggling to get this up. And, you know, that, of course, I look back at the time I was 20 years old, didn't know that was a steroid era. And everybody was huge and doing that super easy. But you look back and like, man, he was just, I mean, he had baseball strengths. He wasn't physically a stud, but he,
right.
I mean, when it came to his legs were ginormous, stolen bases, his forearms and arms were cut and ripped. But when it came to like, just like brute strength, like just doing a bench press, he could barely get the, you know, it's 135 pounds, but he was struggling to get two or three of those up. And you know, it was weird to see when you got other guys in there, like Canseco putting 4 and 5 45s on each side, doing 10 of them.
Right. Well, I'll leave that for another conversation down the line somewhere.
I'm sure we've talked about many times.
On the case of PLR, former MLB veteran Craig Paquette. So, obviously, you played baseball. You played at the highest level of baseball. Who was your influence? What got you into baseball? What made you want to be a big leaguer?
You know what? I grew up in Southern California. And then my dad coached me all the way till I got to high school. I played all sports, soccer, baseball, basketball. They wouldn't let me play football and even golf some in high school. But it's really crazy how things happen. And I don't know. I kind of attested up. I had an older brother And every time he was 3 years older, and every time I played anything, I always played 3 years up. And you look back, and I always compare myself to the way kids are nowadays. They have to play one sport, and it's club ball. They play 100 some games a year, and they're traveling out of state. I mean, people don't understand. Like, you look back 15, 20, 30 years ago, I literally played 10 baseball games a year and made it to the big leagues. And nowadays, these parents are out, you know, because I played 10 to 20 soccer games, 10 to 20 basketball games, 10 to 20 baseball games, and then had time off between each season. And somehow I was good enough to get drafted out of high school, go to JUCO, sign a letter of intent to one of the top colleges, and then get drafted again out of JUCO. And, you know, it's all about if you have the talent, you're going to get seen. Whether it's you're playing whatever sport you're playing, if you're good enough, you're going to get there. It's a shame that these parents are taking the joy of other sports out of the equation.
So I said this yesterday, and I'll have you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I look back and I look at the careers and I see the videos of, you know, Palmer and Gibson and all these guys that pitched that were, you know, power pitchers, and they pitched until their 30s, and they never seemed to lose anything. And I looked at the innings they pitched and everything else, and I said, you know what? Now when we get back in the baseball coming off this pandemic, and I heard people say, well, maybe they'll play doubleheaders or they'll play four or five doubleheaders a week. And the first thing I thought about were pitchers. And I said, wait a second, their arms aren't going to hold up, because unlike a long time ago where guys played different sports growing up, they didn't play in the summer, in the spring, in the winter. And so they weren't pitchers. When I remember Little League, the pitcher also played right field, and he maybe pitched once every 2 weeks. They now have everyone so specialized that kids by the age of 25 have thrown more by the age of 25 than kids growing up in the 60s and the 70s through until they got to 30 years old in the big leagues. And so I'm worried about arms holding up just because everyone is so specialized. They've thrown too many pitches by the time they're 26 years old.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I go back to when I signed. I mean, it was back in the day when Texas, you know, Roger Clemens comes out of Texas. There was a guy that got drafted the year after I did, Kirk Dressendorfer. He was a phenom. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy went to the College Baseball World Series 3 years in a row. And sure enough, he's one of these guys that you don't think is some – he's not a big, strong guy. I think he was 6 feet tall. He didn't have a lot of muscles. You know, nowadays everybody seems to be 6'4", 6'6", and really strong and working out in the gym. And I think that has a lot to do with the injuries in baseball nowadays. You look back in the days with Bob Gibson and all those old-timers, they weren't in the gym. They were pitching, ice in their arm, going to rest, doing their bullpen. You know, there was no weights or extendous lifting going on. Now with all the lifting, and it is crazy how Kirk Dressendorfer, phenom, gets drafted, goes straight to Double-A, half a year in, he's in the big leagues, boom, he gets hurt, never pitches again. And it has to do, I mean, 100% of my mind says it's from in college, they pitched him way too much, and he didn't have enough rest, and he blew out his shoulder, 25 years old. Crazy.
Yep. I sometimes I think we look at the way things were done, and we always think we can improve them, but for some sports, the way it was done really was the best way. And I, for whatever reason, I want baseball to kind of get back to that. I mean, a 1-0 game, to me, is just as exciting as a 6-4 game if it's a 1-0 game because of strikeouts or double plays or hidden runs that you got. To me, it can be just exciting. I don't see why we have to pigeonhole every game, because I'll be honest with you, I like watching baseball. But when I watch the Yankees-Red Sox game, which is easy to do because ESPN shows like all 40 of them. But it was literally, get on base and wait. And the game was about a 4.5-hour, 9-inning game.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 6-5, and every run was off a home run. And it was like, it was really like pulling teeth. And I was like, wow, this is the most boring 6-5 game I've ever seen in my life. Someone, please, put the ball in play. They're doing the shift. Listen. I'm not Nostradamus, but if you're doing a shift and the closest person is at shortstop, And I probably can get to second, and I'm not that fast, but I could probably get to second by the time they get to the ball.
You don't even want to know how frustrated I am with when they created this shift and the shifting. I mean, I was that guy because, I mean, I was a starter for a couple of years, but I was never, you know, I'd be considered a journeyman that, you know, every year made the team until I got to St. Louis. But I always went to the plate looking for who's moving, where are they positioning me, what way can I look? I mean, I was pretty much a Deadpool hitter early on in my career, but I tell you what, if I looked out there and there was no second baseman, you know damn right I'm going to try and hit a ground ball to second base for an easy single the first two strikes. I mean, I literally do not understand some of these players and some of these guys. It's not like it's Mike Trout or these huge home run hitters that are making $30 million. There's guys that are, you know, making $5 to $7 million that aren't everyday players. And when they walk up to the plate, there's a huge shift on and they don't even think about it. I don't understand that.
A baseball writer said to me in the press box last year of a Diamondback game, he doesn't bunt because he probably hasn't bunted since high school, and that's asking him too much. And I literally looked at him and said,
what?
You mean to tell me they're asking a big leaguer to bunt is asking him too much because he hasn't bunted since high school? If he knows they're playing the shift, isn't that something he should probably do during batting practice to get, I don't know, get reacclimated with it then? He's like, no, that's not what he's paid to do. I was like, okay, well, hey,
so
what do I know?
The average person – yeah, and the average person might not know this, but when you're in the big leagues, you can do whatever you want. You can tell the coach. You can tell any coach. You can tell any pitcher, hey, I would love to work on bunting. Guess what? Boom. They're going to set aside 30 minutes for you the next day before batting practice. They're going to tell you, show up to the field 30 minutes early, get out there. We'll have somebody throw you live BP where you can work on your bunting. It's as simple as that. So for anybody to say that, it's nonsense. It's just they don't want to do it. They're not getting paid to do it. So if it was me, and even when the year I hit 22 home runs in Kansas City, if somebody's giving me a bunt hit, I would take it every time.
Yeah. Seems like it makes sense. On the Cave Show with PLR and the Terry Lackey line, Craig Paquette, former Major League Baseball big leaguer with the A's, Royals, Mets, Cardinals, and Tigers. But you are now retired, and you're now in a different business. And please tell everyone about this coffee business that you're in.
So it's called Valentis. It's a great product, great company. Talked to the owner a few times. Great guy. He's a sports fanatic. He has it's crazy or not, $250 million worth of sports memorabilia. And the guy's worth over $500 million. But if you can imagine that. He says he's got 7 spies filled with baseball cards. Picture that.
Wow.
that's a lot of baseball cards.
Yeah, it is.
But it goes back to I have a friend who from Oakland area who was really successful in the network marketing industry, and he had always told me what the next company that he gets involved with, he wants me to be a part of it. So a couple weeks ago, and guess what? I'm in orthopedic sales right now. There's no elective surgery, so I'm actually sitting at home looking for something to do. Phone rings and he calls me up and lets me know that he's found that company. They've got a great product and he wanted me to join. So I jumped in, tasted it, and it tastes better than I expected. And I'm not a coffee snob. I'm not one of those guys that goes to Starbucks or Dutch Brothers on a daily basis, but I enjoy coffee and it tastes just as good as any of them. And sure enough, 2 weeks in, I'm down 7 pounds. So can't complain about that.
That's all right. We have a mutual friend who told me he sends me a text. It's like, dude, I'm down 10. We got to get into stuff. So that's coming from someone that I've known for forever, and he's swearing by it.
Yeah, I got to give him a little pub. That's Mike Madsen. But yeah, he came on with me, and he's loving it. We're doing good. We're enjoying it. It's a good way to get out and talk to people. And I mean, I think that what people don't understand, the biggest knock is it is a network marketing company, but I'm in direct sales. And how do you make money in sales? You need to sell stuff. So I hate the fact that network marketing gets blamed as a pyramid scheme, but it's all about sales. It's about talking to people and sharing a great product. And I think that's what we've got.
You know, I really try my best not to say his name because he's going to probably record that. and call me 6 or 7 times with that, you know, my name was mentioned on the radio. So I'm sure I'll get about 8 or 9 texts or so. I owe you, thank you for that, because now I'm never getting to shut up. But all kidding aside, I would love, this is something I would love to get out. I mean, I told my wife about it, and she said she has friends that are interested. So, and I'm sure there are more people that are listening that would be interested. And if you could, you know, kind of tell us how they could get a hold of you, get a hold of the coffee, and something they would love to try.
Yeah, so you would go to valentis.com/, and I'm not sure. It's valentis.com, and then you would put in who you spoke to get you on board. So check out the site,
now,
valentis.com. There's a ton of products. I mean, it's the weight loss coffee is obviously their number one seller, but it's great stuff.
Now, I'm a diehard White Sox fan, but every now and then I get Cub fans listening, and they're not great spellers because they're really not that smart of people to begin with. So if you could spell the name of the company, that would help a lot.
V-A-L-E-N-T-U-S, Valentis.
Gotcha. And that was my daily shot at Cubs fans, just in case you missed that.
yeah, I married a diehard Cubs fan, so I understand.
Yeah. You know what? A friend of mine posted something. He was like, well, at least I can't get to see him, but I got beer brats. Pretend like I'm at Wrigley. So I was like, dude, you're killing me. White Sox, man. White Sox. They're going to have the better team once this gets going. And then last question. I'll let you get out of here. We do have a pandemic right now. We do have a lot of craziness going on in this country, in this world. And I know sports is something that people want to return to have a distraction, a healthy distraction. But baseball hasn't been played in a while, and not everyone has access to stay in shape. And, you know, everyone, like you said, isn't Mike Trout making a ton of money that probably has a batting cage in his backyard. For the average baseball player, for the everyday baseball player, I'll say the working man baseball player, how long would it take them to get back into some type of baseball shape where they could be effective, not just go out there and swing the bat, but actually be effective and ready to go play a real big league game?
Just to answer that straight out, probably just a week, because as a professional athlete, as a paid professional, every player is at home right now working their butt off to stay in shape and to stay in baseball shape. So the only thing that a player is going to need to do is to get some at bats. And a pitcher is going to need to the same thing as well, is to throw to some live hitting. But besides that, I think if they increase the number of players on the team, which they probably will do for at least the first couple months, or depending on when they start, so that there's more pitchers and they don't have to blow out somebody's arm early on. But for the most part, every player, whether you're Mike Trout or whether you're Craig Paquette or you're the 25th man trying to make the team, everyone right now is somewhere in either a warm place, they're either in Florida, Arizona, or California, or their own house, working out, doing baseball exercises to make sure they're staying in shape for when this happens.
Who's gonna have an easier time getting back to, I'd say, normal, but back to normal, pitchers or hitters?
Well, I think it's going to be the pitchers always have the little edge, but I just don't think that they're going to – the teams aren't going to let them go as long. So you're going to see the starting pitchers throwing 3 or 4 innings compared to 6 or 7 if they're really doing well.
Okay. Hey, well, I know I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get back to all sports and baseball and bring that game of summer back so we can get back to what we love. And I really appreciate you hopping on, and I'll make sure I put Valentis on my social media as well, so everyone can check it out and attach your name to it so you get credit for it. And like I said, we would love to try it. So I'll touch base with you off air, and that way I can get a supply for the wife and her friends and see what's going on.
You got it. Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Craig, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And please be a friend to the program. Love to have talk baseball when the season gets going with you again.
Yeah, that sounds great. Call me anytime, and have a great weekend, buddy.
You too. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Craig Paquette, MLB veteran of the A's, Royals, Mets, Cardinals, and Tigers, hopping on with us for a little while. That was cool. 1 week, he says. They could probably get back to playing and looking pretty good in about a week. A little bit more. Let's jump out and pay a couple bills.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Back to the Kerry Show of PLR. This is PLR. Great time catching up with Craig Paquette, former MLB veteran of the A's, Royals, Mets, Tigers, and Cardinals. But let's have some fun with you guys out there. I see the lines loading up again. Calling number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. Do have a caller on the line. Thank you for your patience. You're on the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. Welcome home.
What's up, my friend? How are you?
Been a while. What happened?
Well, you know what? We had to run some best of shows. I actually, I guess the first time I'm actually saying it on air, lost my mom last month. And so went on a little bit of a hiatus and did the recorded shows, the best of. And then this last Wednesday, 2 days ago, was our first day back live. But we're here. We're live back. And
yeah, I tried to get on, but, you know, I was just about to come, but you just signed off. I didn't beat the clock.
Thank you for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, well, I got news for you because while you were gone, we also lost somebody who was a big part of my show, and he passed away in February due to lung cancer, my co-host.
Wow. Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so he passed away just before Valentine's Day, so that's a big loss there for our show. Anyway, although there haven't been a lot of sports to talk about in the past month, there's been plenty of stuff that's been going on, though, anyway. I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but there's been a lot going on in the, shall we say, the virtual world.
Ha! Especially when you're an auto racer, huh?
You know, NBA, the NBA 2K, the hoops, I mean, the horse tournament and whatnot. So that's been going on. So I've been coming up with, you know, a lot of articles for the Saturday show.
Okay. That should be cool.
Yeah.
There's
going to be another virtual tournament, this one involving hockey with the two greatest players that are still living, though.
So is it Lemieux and Gretzky?
You're half right.
Gretzky.
Gretzky and the other one.
Is it Crosby and Fed? Is it still the kid?
Nope. It's not going to be Crosby. Ovechkin.
So it's not Crosby and it's not. Okay. So they went with the retirement. I'm like going, what do you say? Not Lemieux, not Crosby? Ooh, the other half.
No, it's going to be a video game competition between Alexander Ovechkin and Wayne Gretzky. I mean, Ovechkin's trying to close in on his record, which I don't know if they'll do or not, but
that should be fun. I tell you what they should do is let Ovechkin fill up the Stanley Cup with some alcohol and drink first and then play. That'd be fun.
That'd be true, too, yeah.
That would be fun. Yeah, I know. You know what? Everyone is finding ways to fill time. I tell you, the one thing I'm looking forward to is this Sunday watching The Last Dance with the Bulls and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That looks like it's going to be really good.
You're taking a title from a Vanessa Williams song. Okay. Oh, boy.
Yep, looking forward to that.
I couldn't resist.
Well, you know what? I would be surprised if you did.
Three years later, you're still figuring it out, right?
I will tell you this, though. When I'm looking at all these sports coming back, and yesterday we talked about it, I think certain sports can come back. I'm not a fan of UFC coming back. I'm not a fan of Dana White, so I always have to
say
it first. But sports like tennis and golf, I think you can do. I really think you can pull off tennis. Now, obviously, we're no fans of the tennis for right now.
Golf, I think you could, because golf, you're more than 6 feet apart, so that would make logical sense. Now, wrestling, forget it. That is a ridiculous idea for them to come back. But they've already started the live matches again. Well, fans, of course. But that has got to be the most ridiculous sport to come back. I mean, you're kicking the crap out of each other, body slamming, throwing up against the ring. Right then and there, that's already a no-no. So,
okay.
I mean,
well, you know why that's back, though, right? I mean, let's just be honest. You know why that one's back, right? Because
money.
Oh well, that and let me not just money. Let me give you the trail to follow here. A very good friend of Vince McMahon, is the president of the United States. The leader of the Super PAC, the leader of the president of the United States Super PAC, is Linda McMahon. A very good friend of the McMahons and of the president is the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Where's wrestling taking place? In Orlando, Florida. Who's going to push for that? Vince and Linda. Who is Linda and Vince talking to? The president of the United States. This is, I don't even have to give you the Hansel and Gretel's breadcrumbs for this one. That's the easiest trail to follow in the world. So, because if wrestling is essential, hell if I know. But tennis, I see, because you know how they usually sit on the same side of the court when they do a break? Well, that's real easy to pick up that chair and put it on the other side of the court. And now when you switch sides, instead of walking across each other, you just walk along the back of the court. Does it mean you have to forego shaking hands with the judge? I don't think that hurts anyone's feelings. So I think it's the one sport you could pull off. And if we're really being honest, you don't really need the line judge, because they have the eye now that rechecks when you challenge anyone. So they can have someone, you know, up in the sky, wherever, with the feed into the judge's ear, and if it's out, he can call balls in and out. So I think that's one that could return.
I still don't think it's very smart. I mean, I'm not going to knock the fans, because I know a lot of people that do like WWE and whatnot, but I still think it's a bad move to do it this soon. I really do.
I do too. I think it's dumb. I think it's stupid. I think it's myopic thinking. I think Dana White is even more myopic thinking, because wrestling
in
itself,
anyway,
they could wrestle. You know, what'd you say?
He's on drugs.
Yeah, it's myopic thinking. You have guys bleeding on each other. I'm not even gonna go down that path again. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
What I'm thinking, of course, right?
I'm not going to say it. I'll let you say it.
Dumbass.
Let me ask you this. You're back east, in that area that's being hardest hit by coronavirus. Are you safe? Are your family safe? Are you guys taking all
precautions
to make sure?
We're all safe. Good. Cousins, friends, girlfriend, who I haven't seen now in 6 weeks, for crying out loud. But we are all safe. I can't speak for the rest of the population of the state, but my immediate family, everybody else that I know, is safe.
Good. That's most important. Wanted to get that out first.
Yes, and thank you. How's it head in your area, though?
Well, the Maricopa County, which includes Phoenix, Chandler, Tempe, the biggest population, it's being hit the hardest. So we have the highest number of cases, the highest number of deaths. It's nowhere near New York, which is just crazy, obviously. But the Navajo Reservation is taking real hard hits up north in the state as well. The rural areas, for the most part, they're staying pretty clear. Our governor, after he got a little bit of heat on his tuchus, finally decided that certain things needed to be closed, because for a while he said that tattoo parlors, hair salons, they were all essential, which, whatever. But yes, but then after an interview where he, a panel where he was made to look like he didn't know which way was right and which way was left, the very next day, you know, he closed everything. So this is one of those things where, you know what, my wife owns a beauty salon, Lou, and no one does not want to work. Everybody wants to work.
Right.
Everybody wants to get back to normal. I want to get back to covering games. I want to get back to being at ballparks and stadiums and in locker rooms. I want to. But at the same time, I just want to make sure we are all safe while we're doing it. And I don't think there's anything
over the past few weeks, I mean, a lot has been postponed and canceled. University of Cincinnati Soccer has decided to end its men's program, period, which is a shame, not just for soccer, but for college sports in general. You know, and let's see, what else? Well, you know, Easter wasn't the same this year, of course. Go figure. Mother's Day is going to be messed up. Ugh. I mean, Mother's not going to like that. Ugh, boy. Memorial Day is going to be in jeopardy, too.
Well, it's all about safety, Lou, and I hear people that say, well, let's just go for it. Well, you know what? I say this. Go for it. Those that want to go for it, go for it. And if you're still good in a couple weeks, then the rest of us will try. But for those people that just want to go for it, I know personally, if I owned a pro team and my players were playing ball, I don't want them in a locker room with 15 members of the press, you know, 6 inches from their face with the recorders shoved down their throat. I don't want that. I don't want that for the players. I don't want that for the press. So, you know, if I'm going out to eat right now, you tell me restaurants are open, they may be open. I don't want to go sit in a restaurant with 140 people. I'll take mine to go. Thank you.
Right.
So until more is done, and that's why when we talk about what we do in the business of sport and the business of covering sports, I just think we have to all be careful. Not just, as one coach said it, if it's not safe, and I don't remember which coach said it, but I'm with him. He said, if it's not safe for fans to be in attendance, why is it safe for me to send my players out there to play?
Yeah, because, with Arizona, they're thinking about maybe having the teams all play in Arizona for the next 4.5 months, which I don't know if that's a great idea or not, to be honest.
Hey, if they could pull it off, great. I'll tell you this, though. I would not want to be a team like Detroit or Chicago or Cincinnati where you get some cool days and you're used to them and you're playing outside in 118-degree heat. You know,
That's what I'm saying.
That would suck. For us covering it, that would be great. It would be awesome to, you know, and like I said, I don't know what our type of relationship would be, or if we would have to do Zoom interviews or you know, get one major transcript and, you know, shoot over video questions. But I tell you what, hell, I would love covering having more access to teams that we normally wouldn't get access throughout the course of a season. That would be cool for me. But for the players, that would be tough.
Be hell.
That would be awfully tough. So, and the teams out here, Lou, I don't know what they're like in your neck of the woods, as my man Al Roker would say, but I hear they've been great. There's a WNBA draft. The Mercury have made themselves available to us with the conference call. The Suns had a conference call yesterday. The Diamondbacks have had three. The Sun Devils basketball team has had two. So everyone's staying in contact, and I absolutely love what the teams out here are doing and staying in contact, staying in touch, and keeping everyone up to date on what's going on.
Yeah, I've been keeping in contact, with friends and everything. You know, I still come up with a lot of articles, you know, during this time because that hasn't shut down. The news has not stopped.
No.
Go figure.
No, sir. But
you would think there would be nothing to talk about.
Yeah. But listen, my friend, it's great catching up with you. I know we're coming close to the end of the show, but we're back. We are definitely back, and so we're good to go. If you hop on early, I've had a couple guests that asked to come on a little earlier than normal. So if they are, I'll be saying it at the start of the show, and then we'll push the calls back just a little. Otherwise, it's business as usual with guests hopping on at about 10 after. But the last couple of days, I've had guests that asked if they could get on early. So
Of course,
we're going to make that accommodation. But we're going to load the phones up as quickly and as often as we can.
I'll be back.
All right, buddy. It's good to catch up with you, man. Take care and be
good
safe
to have you
out
back,
there.
Paul. You too.
All right, thanks, my friend. Thank you. Good for the program, Lewis. It was good to hear his voice. Good to be back. Wow, what a fun show. What a fun show today. On Monday, you know, you already know, we are going to be talking about episodes 1 and 2 of The Last Dance. If you are, I'm going to say, I'm going to put this out here. For all y'all LeBron James fans, I always say don't at me. At me if you want to. Call the show if you want to on Monday. Do whatever you want to do. But all y'all can sit down and you can watch the greatest to ever do it and to will his team more than anybody. My eyes have seen will a team to victory because last I checked, 6-0. And I know Bill Russell, see, there's no such thing right now. Let me go ahead and say this. If you are under the age of, I don't know, 75, there are no Bill Russell fans that can tell me, oh, Bill Russell won. That's just your comeback to not give it to Jordan. It's just your comeback. Because you and I both know, or you and I and everyone knows, there was like 10 teams in the league then. 10 teams in the league. Played the same teams over and over and over and over. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Bill Russell. Greatest winner to ever play the game. I'm not taking anything away from him at all. But every time I hear that, I'm like, here we go again. You never watched him play. Now, someone that's 70, 75, watched him play, you want to sit down and talk, I listen to your argument. But you know, doggone well, you don't watch Bill Russell play if you're 28. You're just trying to argue against Jordan. It's not arguing for Bill. It's arguing against. I heard some dude on a 4-letter this morning on Get Up, and I love Get Up. I'm not trying to plug another show, but love Get Up. I think Greenberg is awesome. Really do. Big fan. But yeah, my man Marcus Spears on. Marcus Spears, no one's going to convince me that LeBron James ain't the greatest. I would stop trying to convince him of the truth. You don't want to believe the truth? You ain't got to believe the truth. Don't matter. Doesn't matter. All you want to do when you're a Jordan fan is go right to the ring. That's all you want to do. LeBron went to 8 straight finals. He did. That's a hell of an accomplishment. But what I found with my 2 sons, and one is a huge LeBron fan, one is a huge Steph Curry fan. As soon as I bring up, you know, Steph has 3 rings, they're all against LeBron, the arguments always change. Anyway, let me get back to what I was saying. We will be talking Last Dance. We will be talking Mercury Draft. We will be talking all the stuff that comes up. Prayers out to all those people that are suffering from this pandemic, family members that you may have lost. Prayers to your heart. I know it's hurting. Prayers that you can get through this. Prayers as a country and as a nation, as a world, we can get through this and all come out safe on the other side. That's the most important thing. We all want the same thing. We all think there's different ways to get there. Let's try to be civil with each other until we figure it out. Thanks to our guests called in via the Kerry Lackey Wallen, Craig Paquette, MLB veteran. He told some Ricky stories. I love Ricky stories. That was fun. Talked about his business venture with Valentus Coffee, valentus.com. And he said to make sure, you know, obviously the person you're talking to, they get the credit. Make sure you put his name in there, Craig Paquette, C-R-A-I-G, P-A-C-Q-U-E-T-T-E. Until Monday, I want everyone to have a fabulous weekend. Follow us on social media at The Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. And make sure you put in The Sports Cave. S-P-O-R-T-S-K-A-V-E. We're on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the Facebook, thesportscave.com. You can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thanks to my buddy Lou for giving a call in as well. Until Monday, everyone, please have a safe and blessed weekend. We will see you at 1 o'clock next week, already jumping off Monday. Long-time writer for the AP, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, you name it, she's done it. I could spend an entire segment on her resume. Candace Ola will be with us on Monday. Until then, everyone, have a great and safe weekend. This is The Cave Show with PLR, and this is PLR.